on page 818 in the Mamor Chazal, Eshleishes Haroim B'Yerech Echot. Hashem says he's going to bring an end. He will bring an end to the three shepherds in 1 month. What is referred to? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm reading on page 818. It's in Zechariah, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Ches. These are the Mamori Chazal that relate to these psukim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Shloisha, Parnasim, Tovim, Amdu, Lishol, Elohein. There were three shepherds. Hashem appointed for the Jewish people. Who are the three shepherds? The three shepherds are Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. One moment, please. Okay, these are the three shepherds. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. V'sholosh matanos tovos nidnu al yadam. There are three gifts that were given to Klai Yisrael through them. Be'elohim, these are the three. Be'er, the Be'er Miriam. The Anan, that was from Aaron. And the Mon, that was from Moshe Rabbeinu. Be'er, b'zchus Miriam, amud anan, b'zchus Aaron. Mon is b'zchus Moshe. Mesa Miriam, when Miriam passed away, nistalika Be'er. Shenemar v'tomash Miriam, uchsiv b'basre v'lo hoyimayim lo'eda. V'chazha b'zchus Shnehem. The Be'er, when it came back in the murder, both of Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron took over what Miriam provided. Next, Nes Aaron Nistalku and Nani Akova. Then Nani Akova went away. Shneim says in the pasuk, "Vayishmak Nani Melcharod." Mashmu Hashama, Shama Shemes Aaron. When Arod, when the Knanim heard that Aaron died and the Anani Akova were Nistalek, the Jewish people were now vulnerable to attack. And indeed, that's what they did. When the Anani Akava departed, so the Canaanim believed that they now had permission to make trouble. Chazru Shneyem Bizchus Moshe. And now they both returned. They returned in the name of Moshe. Now Chazru Shneyem, some of you doesn't make sense because it says over here the only thing that went away was the Anani Akavot. Anani Akavod, and then it says Chazru Shnehem. Okay, I guess we're not going to go too deep over here, but I guess obviously right now at this point in time, Moshe Rabbeinu was supporting all three. His own gift, the gift of Moshe was the Man, the gift of Miriam was the Be'er, the gift of Aaron was the Anani Akavod, and when Miriam passed away, and Aaron passed away, so Moshe Rabbeinu was resting on his shoulders, Graysa Plaitzis. On his shoulders, he was resting all three gifts. Meis Moshe, when Moshe died, Nistal Kukulam, they all disappeared. Shenemar Vo'achid Eshleishes Haroyim B'Yerach Echad. Asked the question, B'Yerach Echad Mesu? Did Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam die in the same month? V'Hala Miriam Esle B'Nisan. Aaron died B'Ov, M'Chodesh Ov. U'Moshe B'Adar, Ela Malamed. They all suddenly disappeared. It must have been a very great shock. A very great shock for all three gifts to disappear at one moment with the Petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu died in Zayin Adar, before they went into Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael were all on the road. Can you imagine the shock? They lost the Man. They lost the Anani Akavo, they lost the Be'er Miriam, they had now nothing. And that's what it means there in this bus. They have now another, we have a whole long list. We really should have like notes. If I was good, I'd write up every day after the shiur is over notes and revise them to summarize in a very, very bekitzer in an orderly way, just like, you know, Rashi Prakim, all the different things that we learned. We should really start doing that. All the different interpretations of each one of these psukim, according to we have here, like I can't count anymore. I don't know if I can count that high. After like 5 or 6 or 7, we've had already so many perushim as to who are the three people, the three shepherds that came that were canceled, that came to an end at this point in time. And the Gemara is introducing to us an entirely different idea. The Gemara is taking this pasuk as it does all the time out of context. It's taking it out of context and is interpreting the pasuk in reference to something entirely different. Over here, when Zechariah is speaking to Klal Yisrael, the simple understanding is he's talking about current events. He's speaking about what's going to happen with Yavan, what happened right before with regard to Paras. he's speaking all of the mafarshim on the page who are learning the pesukim over here according to current events are discussing things that are very relevant to the life of Zechariah and the people that he's speaking to in one way or another. But the Gemara, this does its kedarka. This what Talmud Bavli does more often than not. It takes the pesukim and neviim and it completely plucks it out of the context and interprets in reference to things that really have nothing to do with the pesukim. And here is an example. The Gemara says this refers to Moshe, Aaron, Miriam. Each one of these was responsible for a magnificent gift in the Klal Yisrael, the 40 years in the desert, the Man, Nani HaKavod, and the Be'er. And each one had their role. And when one of them died, the other one took over, or together they took over. And at the end, Moshe was the last man standing. It was in his merit. All three gifts were sustained. And then when Moshe died, all three of these items departed. It's very important to appreciate that there were three leaders. We very often we forget about that. We discount Miriam. We only say who is the leader in Klal Yisrael. So what do we say? Moshe. Moshe took us out of Mitzrayim. It's not true. The Aaron achicha yihyeh neviecha. Moshe and Aaron were shkulim. Rashi makes that point. They were equal. Even though you'll say, how could they be equal? Okay, there's a lot of discussion. How can you say Moshe and Aaron were equal? They were not equal. Moshe was significantly greater, it would seem. But they were leaders together. They served. There was a presidium, and it wasn't just Moshe and Aaron. The Torah, because of tznius, doesn't mention the degree, the role that Miriam had in leading Klal Yisrael. If we were living in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, I think we would be so shocked in so many ways. The way we imagine it was like is probably so far from the way it really was. Obviously, everything we know is true, but it's just the focus, the perspective. Everything we learn is absolutely true about every single thing, but there's more to it. There are many, many more dimensions. There are many more factors that were in play, which created a very a significant environment. And Moshe, Chazal say this here and there, there were three major leaders of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. I maybe want to suggest that that's maybe one of the reasons why we do not mention Moshe in the Haggadah, because it wasn't just Moshe. It was Aaron and Miriam. If the Baal Haggadah would emphasize Moshe, 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 okay, this is one of the most basic questions about the Haggadah. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? And there are only 100 answers to this question. But one of those answers has to revolve around the fact that by focusing on Moshe Rabbeinu, his role of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you would sideline the significance of Aaron and Miriam, who were equals. The Pasuk says explicitly Aaron was an equal. And Miriam was also an equal. Miriam, from her came the Be'er Mayim. Miriam was the only reason why Moshe was even born, was the only reason why Moshe survived, because she went out. And Miriam was the inspiration for all of the women. Miriam, tomorrow you will learn Yilein Shvi'i Shel Pesach. It's a tribute, not just to Moshe, it's a tribute to Miriam. What about Aaron? What happened to Aaron? Where is Aaron tomorrow? Aaron doesn't seem to appear tomorrow. I don't know. What happened to Aaron? Where do we find Aaron? If you think about that, where do we find Aaron playing a major role in the Yetzias Mitzrayim? He certainly did. The Aaron achicha yihyeh neviecha. But where in the service of the day, of the entire Yom Tov Pesach, do we give Aaron his due? I don't know. Something to think about. But at least this Maimon Chazal over here expressed that idea very clearly. And it says over here, interprets the pasuk over here, how they're going to perish in 1 month. Okay, let's go further now. One more another Chazal. Rav Huna bar Manoach, Rav Shmuel bar Idim, Rav Chia, Mivas, Tanya haveshchichi kamei d'rava. They went to visit him. Ki noch nafshei d'rava, osu l'kamei d'rapapa. when Rava died, they went to her papa. Kol emas tahave amalu shmaitz v'lohavim mistabra luhu. Anytime her papa would say something and they did not like it, havi miramze ahadadi umabitim zelazek lemashena mchuvenes l'shmuas Rava. Every time her papa would say a shir, they would look at each other, they would wink at each other, and they would say, this guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not like the Rebbe. We used to go to a much better Rebbe, Rava. Rava was magnificent. And this new generation just doesn't match up. Cholosh Daite, Rapapa had Chalisha Sadas, Ak Ruye Bechelme, and in order to appease Rav Papa in Shemayim, when he went to sleep, the Malach, the Sarah of the Chaloimos, read him the following pasuk: Vo'achid eshloishes haroyim l'machar ki avi miftru. I will bring an end to the three shepherds. Now, what does that mean over here? Ki avi miftru minei v'soif alimud amalhu leiz l'rabbanim b'shloma. I don't know. I don't have to go look at the Gemara, but it seems a very, very, very. It seems that they died. Rav Huda, there were three people. Rav Huda bar Manoyach, Rav Shmuel bar Idi, Rav Chia bar Mivas Tonya. Okay, I don't know the Gemara. I have to go look at the Gemara. I don't know the Gemara. But there were three people who went to sit at the shir of Rav Papa, and they caused them Chalisha Sadas. And it doesn't seem over here, what they just read to him in a dream that I will bring an end to the three shepherds. What does that mean? Does that mean that they died? Something happened, they all died, and he said to them, I want to, you know, wish you well. Have a nice afterlife. Have a nice afterlife. Is that what he meant to say to them? Or they got, there were circumstances which forced them to depart. They got a message from their family that they must come home immediately. They are needed at home, or they're needed in their community. There was something that happened which demanded that they leave. And it would appear that in Shemayim, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this about, that they should depart, was because they did not give Rav Papa the proper respect. Even though Rav Papa was not an equal to his predecessor Rava, so what? Yiftach b'dor k'shmul b'doroi. Each leader in their generation, they have the reins of authority, and they deserve our respect. It's very hard to do. It's very hard to do, especially when you're used to dealing with someone on an entirely different caliber, a different league, and now you have to deal with someone that you really feel does not know what he's doing. In Klal Yisrael, there's a principle. This is a very philosophical, very, very difficult principle to accept. There is a belief, there is an emuna pshuta, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not abandon the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal to Hashem, v'lo yeh kitzoin, v'lo yeh, I don't remember the exact pasuk, maybe Ramayevsky will tell me, klal yishol should not be kitzoin asher ein lohem ro'eh. The Jewish people should not be like sheep that do not have a shepherd, which means that the leadership of Klal Yisrael, the people who are the authorities in every generation, who are looked up to as being the guides, the people who are just respected to make decisions that affect people's lives, there is an emunah pshuta from Moshe Rabbeinu, who was mispalo to Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu personally decides who he wants to sit to be in that position. For many of us, when we look at some of the people that are making decisions that affect our lives, we may be very disappointed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is an emunah pshuta, ki loy machshavosai machshavoseichem. There is something about that person, there is something about the way he does things that we may not understand, we may not appreciate, but Hashem knows that this is the right person, and he will be doing things that in the long run will be for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Unlike the Umay So'olam, the nations of the world, is a president of the United States, and was the person selected to lead and make decisions, was it b'hashkacha? Well, of course it was b'hashkacha. You can't say otherwise, but not to the same degree. Okay, there are always in this world people who are in charge, who have authority, and their decisions affect many people. By the umay so'olam, you can't say that it's just an accident. It's impossible. Leiv melachim b'yad Hashem, and that includes even the umay so'olam, but it's not with the same intensity of hashkacha pratis. So, as by Klal Yisrael, here we have a very fascinating story. We have Rav Papa, and Rav Papa was now the one giving the shiur. It's not clear exactly. I don't know all of the details, but he took over for Rava, and these three great Talmidei Chachamim were not very happy with what they saw, and they showed him disrespect. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not pleased. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Rav Papa a message in his dream, tomorrow, Vo'achid, Hashem read for him this pasuk, Vo'achid eshloishes horoyim biyerach echad. Three shepherds are going to be denied, come to an end in 1 month. And Rav Papa the next day, when he saw them, he said, I had a dream last night, and all I can tell you is, Lech l'shalom, have a good afterlife. That term, Lech l'shalom, well, what did he say? He said over here, he said, what was the words again over here? Lech. The next day he said, Leiz l'rabon bishloma. Chazal said that when you say goodbye to a person, you should never say Lech bishalom, but instead you should say Lech l'shalom. When you say l'shalom, it means you will live, you will go in peace. If you say be with the base, it means drop dead. Have a good afterlife. It is very interesting that over here Rav Papa said to these three people, b'shalom, with a base, alluding to the fact that they're going to die. Is that really what happened? I don't know. I don't know if that's what happened, but here it came to the defense. Now, I want to tell you a chiddush. It took me many years to figure this out, this idea. You have to go to Daf Yomi, and if those who learn Daf Yomi, you have to learn Daf Yomi, you have to analyze if this is indeed correct, if this is indeed true. And what am I referring to? Why, when we make a Siyum Masechta, do we mention the 10 sons of Rav Papa? Rami Rav Papa, Chanina Rav Papa, Rafa Rav Papa, Rochash Rav Papa, Sur Rav Papa, Dor Rav Papa, Abba Mor Rav Papa, Surcha Rav Papa. Okay, I don't remember all the 10 names. Why do we mention at every single Siyum the 10 sons of Rav Papa? So if you go look in all the big books, if you go look at all these Sfarim that talk about Siyum HaMasechta, they're going to tell you the following. They're going to tell you, they're not going to really give you a good answer. I checked these books out a long time ago. I never found an answer really that was really very satisfactory. Why Rav Papa's 10 sons? And the only thing you really get is Rav Papa was a very wealthy man. He was a very, very rich man. And he loved Torah. And in fact, he's all over Shas. Wherever you blink, there he is. And we know a lot about Rav Papa. Rav Papa had a business. Where did he make his money? Beer. He was Budweiser. He was the Budweiser of the day. Okay, what kind of beer? Did he have beer? What kind of beer? The Talmud Chazal made from dates. I don't remember. Was it barley beer, date beer? Today they only make it from barley. But in those days, they made it from dates. Date beer was very poor quality. It was poison almost, the Gemara says. But that's what they drank. That's what everyone drank. They drank barley. They drank date beer. Our Papa was a brewer. He made a fortune. He was very wealthy. He loved Torah. He loved Talmidei Chachamim. And any time he heard someone made a siyum, he would sponsor the siyum. Like, you know, there are people today that sponsor Sfarim. There's a family called Berkowitz.
You know, whatever it is, in with the copper or without the copper.
Okay, there's a person, there's a family called the Berkowitz family. I don't know if you notice it. Wherever you go, so many Sfarim, it says, the Berkowitz edition. I don't know who this person is. I know of a person who gets steady Shalom Aleichem. Regards to your father.
Yeah.
No, he's not here. He's not. I don't know if he knows that we're having a shir today.
He's in Philly now.
Oh, he's in Philly. Okay, very good. Okay. Send regards. I have Shui Horowitz is here. A Baruch son is over here. He's in charge of the shul. Yeah, she's clear for everything. So we have over here. Rapapa was a very loved Torah. And whenever someone, like, you know, I tell you, there's a Berkowitz family. This person, I don't know, I know someone who gets money from him. And he basically loves Sar. And he's very wealthy. And he gives away an enormous amount of money to publish the people who could not otherwise afford to publish a Sefer, to publish a Sefer. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Svarim that carry his name. Because he pays for it. This is what he does. Everyone, you know, every person has a certain niche. Some people, they have Keren HaShvi'is is their niche. Some people don't talk during davening is their niche. Some people talk during davening is their niche. Everyone has their niche in life, and they sponsor and support. He supports Svarim. Rav Papa had a mishigas. His mishigas was to sponsor Siyumim. That's what he liked to do. You can bet your bottom buck that if he was alive today, you come to the Siyum HaShas in MetLife, the Aguda, it would be called the Rav Papa Siyum HaShas. His name would be on the celebration, because that's what he did. Okay, that's the kind. Therefore, in respect and in honor and in tribute for him sponsoring the Siyum and being an inspiration for all in the future to follow in his ways, to give honor to Torah by celebrating the study of Torah, therefore we make mention of him and his whole family. That is what you're going to see in basically every book that discusses the topic of Siyum HaMasechta. There's another mahalach, another thing that it's very interesting, but doesn't really explain why Rav Papa. They talk about the Aseres B'nei Haman. The Aseres B'nei Haman in contrast to the Aseres B'nei Rav Papa. I don't remember, there's some very interesting things about that. The contrast between the two, that ties in somehow. But I have a different idea I want to suggest to you, and I really think it's true. And I think this Gemara that we just read now, and the pasuk of Va'achid Shloishes Haroim B'Yerech Echad, is proof to this thesis. And that is, if you study the Daf Gemara, okay, those who learn Daf Yomi have to pay attention to this. More often than now, before I go further, let me tell you the other very popular reason why our Papa always appears. Because our Papa in Shas is always the big compromiser. L'kayem divrei sheneihem. Very often in Shas, Rav Papa will say, oh, we have a machloikis. This opinion says this, and this opinion says this. So you know what? Hilkoch nemru l'tarvayu. Let's do like both. Let's combine both of these opinions, and let's do both. Hilkoch nimrinu kitarvayu. I'm not sure I'm saying the right expression, but Rav Papa is known to be throughout Shas the great compromiser, the great diplomat. So therefore, perfect in tribute that when you finish learning a Masechta and you've come across so many different opinions, many arguments, when the day is over, what do you take out of the Masechta? You should follow in the ways of Rav Papa and synthesize everything that you've learned into one, and try to take a little bit from everyone. Just like Rav Papa. Rav Papa excelled in this midah. Okay, so I've given you already three mahalchim. He was very wealthy. He was always the sponsor of every Messiah Masechta. Or there's something that relates to the Aseres B'nei Haman and his 10 sons, which I don't know. Or number three, Rav Papa is always known in Shas as the great compromiser. But I want to suggest to you another idea. And as I said, this pasuk, this chazal that we've just read, is proof, is hard evidence that what I'm going to tell you is correct. If you learn the Gemara, you'll always know Rav Papa presents an opinion, and he's very often rejected. More often than not, he's pushed away. Other Amoraim who make suggestions, who who express an opinion, a reason for a halacha, they say something in the Gemara. When the Gemara, when the sugya is over, their opinion remains standing. Rapapa is always attacked. Rapapa says something, and then immediately someone comes along and says, it's nonsense. They ask a question, they say, you know, what you said doesn't make any sense. Again, when you learn the Daf Yomi, and you come to Rapapa, pay attention and take note that it's extremely common that when Rav Papa himself offers a chiddush, he's rejected. One, two, they right away come along, nonsense. This cannot be correct. Let's move on to the next svara, the next opinion. Therefore, when the Masechta is over, it is our duty to be mifayes Rav Papa, to appease him, to basically ask him mechila. Rav Papa, we've been very nasty to you. We learned the whole Masechta, and every time you say something, we shut you up. We reject you. We cancel all of your social media accounts. We don't let you express your opinion. We just make nothing out of you. Therefore, when the Masechta is over, we are here to be mefayes you, to give you honor, to show how much we appreciate you, because only because of the things, the ideas that you have suggested, you opened up a conversation which allowed us to develop the idea, the concept. We owe you. It may be that you were rejected, but your perseverance, your desire to understand and to understand, this is what opened up the sugya for us. And look at this Maamar Chazal. Could there be a better illustration of this principle being true? Rava, okay? Abaye v'Rava. Havaya is the Abaye v'Rava. When Rava passed away, who got the job? Rapapa. Rapapa took his place. And the Talmidei Chacham of the day came to listen to his shir. And everything that he said, they looked at each other and they said, no. This fellow, he doesn't know how to learn. He doesn't belong here. He shouldn't be a Rosh Shiva. What is he doing here as the Rebbe? Everything he says doesn't make one bit of sense.
And listen, just as a historical fact, Hillel HaShani was in between Rava and Rav Papa.
Okay.
And he established the calendar. Rav Papa was not a very long time, the Rosh Hashiva, but I mean, the Nasi.
Okay.
Not a long time, yeah. But Hillel HaShani, yeah, because Rava died in 352, and Rav Papa died in 371. In the middle was Hillel HaShani.
Okay.
Just as a matter of record.
Yeah. Right, I'm sure, but the Gemara over here says, the Rambam is, Kinoch Nafshe D'Rava, when Rava passed away, these three Talmidei Chachamim, Asu L'Kamei D'Rapapa, maybe he wasn't yet the Nasi, maybe the Stam, he was giving a shir somewhere, they needed a shir. The Hillel maybe wasn't giving a shir at that time, whatever it says. But the Gemara says explicitly that after Rava died, these three Talmidei Chachamim, they went to learn by Rapapa, and everything that he said, they winked at one another, as saying, this person, he doesn't know how to learn. He's not a Talmud Chacham. And they gave Rav Papa Chalishas Hadas. That's the story of Rav Papa. Throughout the entire Shas, this appears again and again. Rav Papa makes a statement, and they make nothing out of it, and they move on to the next opinion. Oh, when you Messiah the Masechta, you have to go back and be Mephayes Rav Papa. You have to mention Rav Papa and his 10 children as a way of being Mavakesh Mechila for insulting him. Okay, that's my suggestion as to why Rav Papa and his 10 children appear so prominently at the end of every Masechta. Four reasons, Lamaskana. The three classic reasons, because Rapapa was a wealthy man that supported the study of Torah and would celebrate. Number two is Rava, Rapapa was the great compromiser. Hilgach namrinu l'tarvayu. Let's learn from everyone. Let's take out an idea, thought from everyone. Number three, I don't know what this means. I forgot. Maybe once upon a time I know what it meant. The Aseres B'nei Haman. Something to do with that, whatever that means. And number, and now I want to suggest this reason that this Gemara, this Chazal that we have quoted is hard evidence that my thesis is Dvarim Megav. Is it right? Probably not. But can't ignore this Chazal that he was subject to abuse. And you look in the Gemara. If I found, I never really paid attention. But when I started, when this occurred to me, I started to pay attention. I began to notice a pattern. There's a definite pattern of abuse. And the Rebbe was abused. He needs to be pacified. And we do that to him at the end of the Masechta. All right, you know what? Let's stop over here with this. And then let's now right away segue into conclusion, talk a little bit about the last days of the Chag.